Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Mario Andretti. In 1955, at age 15, he began racing cars and began racing modifieds in 59 on dirt tracks. And then 8, 9 years later, on February 26th, 1967, Mario, you won the Daytona 500. Tell us about that day.
Well, as you can see, throughout my career, I was, you know, my specialty was always open wheels, single seaters, you know, a la Indy cars or Formula One is what I really wanted. But I was curious, you know, I did a lot of sports car racing, and at that time, I always had a great relationship with Ford because they were involved in Indy cars and, of course, stock cars, and whenever I would express my my desire to do another discipline, especially stock cars, they would accommodate me, and so in 67 I joined the Holman and Moody team. You know, I was official Ford team, and I was alongside, at the time, he was called the Golden Boy of NASCAR, Freddie Lorenzen, who was a great champion. And again, you know, here I was in the Daytona 500. It was my second try. The first try was with Smokey Unick the year before. But anyway, it just seemed like things worked out. I had a good car under me, and I led 118 of 200 laps, so, you know, with among the best in stock car racing, and it provided an immense satisfaction for me, as you can imagine, you know, because especially if you win in a discipline that's not your specialty, and that this was the case, you know, to win the biggest NASCAR race, which still is, actually, it's still their jewel of the series, and again I cherish that incredibly today. In fact, last year we celebrated the 50th anniversary, which was very nice. I was invited down to Daytona, which was very nice.
We're talking to Mario Andretti, and he took the checker flag 111 times in his career. Speaking of the checker flag, the granddaddy of them all, the Indianapolis Speedway, May 30th, 1969, you win the Indy 500. Tell us about that experience.
Well, you know, as a race driver, obviously, the Indy 500 is, whether it's fair or not, is worth a championship because of its rich tradition. It's a motor race that's known around the world, no question about it. I knew about it when I was a kid in Italy, you know. So again, it defines your career in so many ways. It's unfair for drivers that have been capable of winning have never won it, you know, because of bad luck. What really was very special for me was the fact that I was driving for Andy Granatelli of SDP fame. What brought the satisfaction was the fact that he had been trying so hard for so many years, you know, to win. And that's the only race that mattered to him. He was always going there with something out of the box, something different. In the Roadster days, he used to be there. Everybody, you know, the off-powered Roadsters used to win the race, but he'd go there with a super-powered Novi's, the big supercharged engine V8s, and they were, you know, very fast on the straightaway, but too heavy. So they had, you know, drawbacks, and then he almost won it with the 2 years in a row with the turbine engines and all of that, and here I go and win it with a very standard car, only because my radical car, which was a four-wheel drive Lotus, was coming apart during practice. In fact, I almost killed myself when a wheel came off during practice 2 days before qualifying. But again, and what was special there is that I'd been competitive from the get-go at Indianapolis when I was a rookie in 65. I finished third Rookie of the Year, and then I was on pole the next 2 years and won national championships. And, you know, I won the national championship 65, 66, 67. And then, like I said, at Indy, I was always competitive, but I could not finish it. And the second race, the fifth time there, which was the second race that I finished, I won it. And that took a big, big weight off of my shoulder because, like I said, it's so important to put that under your belt, you know, for the reasons that I just told you. And I figured from there on, you know, maybe God willing, I'd be lucky enough to win a few more times. And I dominated that race, you know, more than once, you know, since. But, you know, at times where I could have just cruised home, you know, the engine always something let go. And then I couldn't, you know, I couldn't finish the job. But nevertheless, here's another crown jewel that you can put, you know, on your mantle and be proud of. And I was able to put that one away as well.
That was 49 years ago. And just a couple months ago, Will Power won the Indy 500. And he was paid $2.52 million. Do you remember, Mario, what you got paid in 69 for winning?
I think it was $246,000. I think.
Just a couple more zeros then. 49.
More zeros, yeah. Times have changed.
So, another change. Let's go back to 69. Talk about the size of your team, the equipment that you brought, the number of tires, et cetera, versus what they bring today.
Well, you know, everything is relative. But even then, in 69, we arrived there with very sophisticated equipment, you know, with the Lotus that I started practice that was intended to be racing was quite a marvel as far as technology at the time. Some good aerodynamic features on it, and also, like I said, the four-wheel drive, which was actually a derivative of what the turbine cars were, you know, 2 years before. They were all four-wheel drive, and we thought, and I was breaking records during practice, but the car was very fragile. So when the car, you know, when we crashed and there were some other issues with the other team cars, we reverted back to our spare car, you know, and which was not intended to be raced there, quite honestly, just as a, you know, a last minute possibility. But here we go, you know, and we won the race with that. But you know, the equipment was state of the art at the moment, and as you know, things evolve like in all the other sports, but the motor racing being so technical, obviously. Things are a little different now as far as the makeup of teams and all of that. You know, it's more professional, and you have, you know, a lot more in-depth knowledge because of computers and all of the things, you know, that I've experienced all of that throughout my career, because from decade to decade, you know, there were just immense improvements and you know, along the technical side and the makeup of the teams and everything. So again, at the time we were absolute state of the art. That's all we could ask for.
Speaking of the makeup of the teams, when we come back, we're going to ask Mario what it was like having his son Michael as a teammate from 89 to 92. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.